guess I am a dentist, but I think more awesomely-ish, I'm a chosen son of God, as all of you. And so, in actuality, that's more important to me than anything else on the planet. And then my wife is next. But, I mean, in all seriousness, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's why I breathe. And this Koine class is going to be about today. It's going to be about going over some Greek forms. I specifically say that because Greek doesn't have words. It has forms and roots, if you want to be exact about it. So there are no Greek words. There's either Greek forms or roots, if you want to get very persnickety about it. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to go over eight very important either Greek forms or Greek number of forms put together in Greek phrases that are important to our calling. And what this, I just have a few minutes, 45 minutes or so. What this is going to do is this is going to give you a good basis to run with, I believe, because we're going to all of these Greek forms are going to be taken from Ephesians chapter 1, by the way. And you know what's happening? The first one here is we're going to pronounce this very correctly. Okay, so this is how you pronounce this first form. Ulagetas. Go ahead. Right. It's not ulogetas. It's ulagetas. That's the accent is on the final omicron there. This is an omicron. It's not an omega. So this is an ulogetas or ulogetos. This is ulagetas. That's how you pronounce this. And I suppose that when I'm looking into the Greek, I'm going to try to be as persnickety about it and correct about it as I can, even in the pronunciation of it, because that's important. I think that the Lord would have us do that. And this form means blessed or worthy to be praised. And we have actually these notes here are from Eddie Medrano, a friend of mine, who actually started me back into the Greek. He's down in Florida now. And I think that what's important about this form, you'll find it in, I believe, Ephesians 1:3. And so, let's read that. And see, the reason that I chose this form for you to understand is this, and I'm going to be talking about that in my talk tomorrow, is when everything gets down to brass tacks in this life, and by the way, you might not be here tomorrow. You may be, you might not. When everything gets down to brass tacks in this life, what we're doing here is we're praising God. Worshiping God. Who is God? What is He? What has He done for us? What does He think about that us? Who is He? What is His power? And you'll find that in Ephesians 1:3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus." Well, actually, more correctly, that should be Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, because what's coming after in Ephesians 1 is mind-boggling. And so the Holy Spirit is saying to us, He's saying, we can't praise the Father enough for what's coming up in knowledge and what He's done for us. We can't praise Him enough. Yeah. And so, you know, you can We can look at things. I don't want to belabor this too much. I only have a certain amount of time. But we can look at reality in a number of ways. I know I can. I can either I can be a nominal Christian. I can look and at what the Lord's given to me, and I can look at it as fitting into my life. Or I can be an adopted son of the Most High, and that's what my life is. And there's a big difference. I know it because I live in this flesh, and I see other human beings and what they do with the Word of God. And so, when we understand who we are in Him, and that is our life, there's no limit to how we're going to praise the Father. We'll have a toss. That's why that's important. Okay? Now, we move on to the next form. And there's, you know, this is, of course, there's no end to these. And this is pronounced ex-alexato. Actually, I pronounced it wrong. It's ex-alexata. Say that. Ex-alexata. Go ahead.
Ex-alexata.
Right. Ex-alexata. And this is in toe. See, I made a mistake. Ex-alexata. What that means is that he chose us in Him. He chose us, actually, in the Son of God for a particular purpose, for a particular reasons, for His particular good pleasure. And what this form means is it means, I have to look at some notes here, it means to choose out for oneself. It means appointed by God for His specific purpose. So what we find after, really closely, right after praise be to the Father, we find very quickly that He chose us in His Son for His particular purpose. He chose us for Himself. All right, now, if you could say, well, that sounds real good. But if you realize, again, I go back to my statement, if you realize who God is, who is He? What is He? And this is what He's done for you and I. I can't explain that to you. You, through the Holy Spirit, have to know that. And see, this is who we are. And so the Father praised Him forevermore because He chose us out for Himself. For Himself. And so you have to, okay, well, who is this one? Who is this one that reached down and chose me for Himself? For His purposes, for His delight. Really. And then it goes on. This is just the start. Ex alexata. He chose us in the Son for His good pleasure, according to His will. You'll find that Ephesians is bursting with the Father's joy in us. And you could say, well, man, my body's racked with pain. I'm struggling my brains out every day to make a living. You know, blah, 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 in the flesh. Well, that is in the flesh. And this is in Almighty God. And so He asks us many things. He asks us to persevere. He asks us to have patience. He asks us to have faith. He tests our faith. I mean, this is as real as it gets. That's my point of what I'm going to talk about here this weekend is reality. Because I find myself living in where the tire meets the road reality all the time. It's not religious mumbo jumbo, it's reality. And so, He chose us out for Himself according to His purpose. That's what I should be getting to know. Alright? So that's why that's very important. Alright? Okay. Okay, then we have, how am I doing for time? Okay, you just, you tell me, when I'm, you know, I, we have a certain amount of time that we gotta go to this meeting. But, you know, it's, these forms are endless. I mean, they just keep on going. It's I'm not making this up. It's overwhelming. Okay, so, the next one we've seen before is en tois epuranios. Say it. En tois epuranios. That's how you pronounce that. Oh, where's my laser missile guide? Oh, well, that's okay. En tois epuranios. And it's not iota, it's iota. So it's pronounced epuranios. And what does this mean? Well, it literally means, oh, thank you. It literally means within, or in, or within the upon heavens. And within the upon heavens. And see, this is where we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. And if you go into that one, if you go into that's pas, or pace in Greek, if you go into that one, you'll find out that that Greek form means that it is the completeness of a particular group of, like group of reality. Like let's say if I was going to give you some Corvettes, I'd give you all of them. Every one, every color, every motor, every stick shift, every tire, every kind of a hubcap. That's the spiritual blessings we've been given. Everyone. You'll, if you look into the form pas, you'll find that the Father has blessed us with every blessing spiritually that is possible to give. And He's done that here. In the upon, within the upon the heavens. Okay, you could say, well, that, you know, that sounds really warm and fuzzy. You know, that sounds really nice that God has done that for you. And then we can go on our merry way. But the fact and the reality of it is, as knowledgeable, spiritually guided, right dividers of God's truth, is that is jaw-dropping. And the only way, and this is where the Son of God is right now, in the upon heavens, within the upon heavens, because we can go to Ephesians 1, and at the end of the chapter, we can find that He brought resurrection power in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, verse 20, Ephesians 1, and set Him at His own right hand in the upon heavens. And where is that? Well, that's far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So, we get this picture. We get this picture that and this is something that kind of went through my mind when I was talking about God tabernacling with human beings over my last study, is that over the course of 6,000 years, God has tabernacled with man and womankind. Right? Started in the garden, went out with Noah's sons, tabernacle in the wilderness, Solomon's temple, tabernacle with people in the Son of God. Okay? He tabernacled with us in the Son of God. Well, all of a sudden, He's got a calling where He takes human beings and to His tabernacle in His Son. I mean, you know, whatever that might mean to you, if you think about it. He's tabernacling with humans. All of a sudden, He brings out a calling that's a mystery, where we're taken in the Son into the heavenly tabernacle, the heavenly holy of holies, according to Hebrews. I know Hebrews is not a book of the mystery, but it is talking about Christ the High Priest going into the heavenly Holy of Holies once and for all. And if we are the fullness of the Son, certainly we are. We have access to that. In my opinion, as far as I see scriptures. So, what? Now you might say, "Well, that sounds good and everything," but maybe see that struck my mind, and I think it will strike yours too a little bit. That he tabernacled with mankind, but now he took mankind to tabernacle with him, and this is a great mystery. You know what I'm saying? And it has to do with the fallen Lucifer, because I believe that he was part of that tabernacle for worship. And so, you know, Ronnie says, get our brains around all this. You know, how do we, as human beings that have never seen the manifested glory of God, how can we get our minds around all this, right? I mean, sometimes my mind says, Lord, what do you expect me to know and believe? Well, I know what he expects me to believe and know. But I'm saying, this is all by faith. Day after day, month after month, week after week. Now, faith is going to be tested. Okay? I know what's happening with you guys. But I know what's happening with me. And, you know, that faith is going to be tested, but it's for his glory. And so here is another form that deals with our calling. All spiritual blessings in the upon the heavens, in the Son of God, where the Son of God is. And that's where our manifestation is going to be. You know, all my mind is as it does this number, like, this is astounding. You know, this is astounding when you're comparing this with the millennial kingdom. A blessing on earth, the land, oh man, I mean, I don't even want any part of that whatsoever after been given knowledge such as this. There's no comparison. And so, we're a very special people. Living at a very special time. We are. 2014 is madness out there. It's getting more colorful every day, isn't it? But it's truly wicked. Wicked stuff is happening with kids and everything nowadays. So, I don't want to belabor that, but, hey, listen to this. You're here now. Alright? I mean, we could have been living in 1914, but we're not. Did you ever think about why? We're living in 2014. What do I have to put up with this rot for, Lord? I don't want to live in this. I'd rather live with horses and carts and when money was worth something and marriage was nice and decent, you know, like that. I don't want to live now. Too bad. Here you are. So there's a reason why we're here. Okay, here's one for you. How much time do I got left, Bob?
About
40
minutes.
What?
About
40. Oh, 40. Good, good. I didn't think I'd even get through half this. Well, here's one for you that's debatable. Or let's just say that is possibly under debate by the egghead studiers of the mystery, which includes you. The eggheads, you know, the brainiacs. What is this for me? Well, okay, so if we read Ephesians 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has in fact blessed us with all spiritual blessings, everyone possible, in the upon the heavens in Christ. I mean, that's good enough to live on. Really easy. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Whoa. Okay, here we are. Foundation of the world is the translation of this form. And we pronounce it, it's not katabole, it's katabales. Not kataboles, it's katabales. Say it. kata bales.
It's not
kata bales. It's kata bales. Kata bales. Well, this is an interesting one. So you're going to, the King James people translated this according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And some people would disagree with that. So what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to get involved in that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stir up some problems and step back. That's the best, most fun thing to do. You know, maybe some of you in here have a difference of opinion about this. I'll just talk about this and watch you go at it. It's a joke. Okay, I'm just kidding right now. All right, if we take into consideration when we were chosen by the Father, when were we chosen by the Father for his particular purpose and delight? That comes into this, all right? A lot of things come into this. Special calling. I mean, in saying this, I don't even feel like I should be left on this planet after saying this. Because they're too much for this place. That's the way I feel. They're too holy. They're too pure. They're too good. They're too amazing to be in this place. Nevertheless, we have it here. And it has to do with the work of the evil one. It has to do with the mind of God. It has to do with completing his purpose in his Son. The mystery is actually the capstone of God's purpose for the ages, completed in His Son. All right. So when were we in His mind? Yeah. When were we called? Yeah. And you're like, wow, this is incredible, right? If you're sitting there, like looking down at this, if you have any wits about yourself. And you know that this is you that he called, you're like, I can't believe this. You know, I can't believe that I know these things. You know, and then the world could care less about them, and they don't know these things. I mean, and it took the Lord a particular operation and a while to work on all of you. Didn't it? Did with me. I reel back in my mind. What did he do for me? Look where I came from. Let's see. Wham! Oh, he showed me the mystery. I don't believe it. And then from that point on, what are you doing with it, Mike? You know, that's the case with all of you. And when he showed you that, you had a Ronnie calls it an aha moment. I mean, it had to be. It had to be for you. And so. I think that, particularly, I think that he wants us to refresh our minds with these things. And that's why I'm doing this. Yeah. You know, our minds can get cluttered and hammered and tired and all these things out there. And it's like, who am I anymore? That's how I put it. Yeah, I'm almost 59 and I'm doing this. Making those... No, but I'm saying to you that I'm like, all these things that's going on in my life, I sit here and go... Oh, is my head coming off? Who am I anymore? You know? And that's all part of something. That's all part of the battle. If you're feeling like that at any time, I'm saying to you here that I feel like that. You could say, well, you're a wimp. Okay. You're a wimp, you're a whiner. Fine, I'm here to whine. But if any of you out there ever feel like this, I'm explaining to you why. Why? You have to refresh your minds in the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, the one who is at perfect peace is your mind stayed on Him. That's what the Word says, right? He or she will be at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. Well, that's not easy. That's not easy anymore because we have war. We have war. And see, war isn't just a willy-nilly, oh yeah, we're in a spiritual war. No, that's we're at war. You know, because we're dealing with the greatest that Almighty God has to give. So, what are we toying around with? Well, at any rate, that's a kata bales. Okay, Some people believe that this means overthrow. Some people believe that this means a casting down, meaning that it is a beginning. Okay, now, like, you're again, some of you are, like, really looking at me, like him, and he's, like, you know, throwing daggers, you know, and that's okay, that's what I'm here for. So, either we were chosen before, some people believe that the words casting down means that when God created everything, he cast down the universe. Alright? You know, don't blame me. I'm just the messenger. Okay? Some people believe that it means an overthrow. So this is a form where you're gonna have to study for yourself. Here's a couple of things I found out about it. As a technical term, it's for putting a seed in the ground. It also is used the role of a male impregnating a female. It could possibly mean that God pushed the earth into the deep, like a farmer pushing a seed into the earth, or like a seed being pushed into the womb. Alright? So, what I'm saying to you is that you have reason to believe one way or the other, whether it is a foundational creation, a casting down or a spreading of the universe, or if it is a overthrow where the earth became void and without form. Alright? Do you all understand what I said? Alright. So, we were chosen out in him before the world became void. Or we were chosen in him before the world was ever created. Now, one would say, I'm going to even complicate this more. I'm going to say, well, if we were chosen in him before the overthrow of the world, how far back does that go? Does that go, where do you stop it? Do you stop it before Lucifer fell? After he fell? Where do you stop it? If you place it before the universe was created, that possibly could mean that was before Lucifer was created. So it's before that. Personally, I believe that we were in the mind of God before Lucifer was even created. That's what Mikey's brain believes. Yeah, I believe that the church that we are, were his first purpose in his unfolding plan for the ages, and he saw it come. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. So, but at any rate, I wanted to mention this form to you. Kata Bales, so that you know that there's might be a little bit of a controversy about that, but that's why we study. All right, how much time we got, Bob? Please, I don't.
I'd say about 20 minutes.
20 minutes, okay. I might not, I thought I was going to rip through these and here again, but this is important too, right here. This one, very important. So if we go on, and really, remember we started this out with being praise be unto the Father, and praise be unto the Father, and we're just getting started. I mean, really. And this is something, how can you say it? My brain says, don't ever take what the Almighty has given you. Don't ever take it lightly. Ever. You'd be a fool of fools. Okay, we are adopted sons. We are the Sion. There's a rough breathing right there. It goes to the right there. We are the Sion. Say it. We are the Sion. And what this literally means is a son placing. Immediate sonship without the intervention of time. There are three major sonships in the scriptures. And we are one of them. And it has to do with callings. And if you look into this form, you'll find out, and this is, you know, sometimes I find things that I'm almost afraid to say. But here it is. Okay, we were chosen out as sons, not necessarily, it doesn't have to do with sex. It has to do with responsibility. That's what it has to do with. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you're a son of God regardless. It has nothing to do with sex whatsoever. And you were called out for a particular purpose, that you might enter the state of adoption as sons. And according to the Greek form, it means that you have all the legal rights and privileges of a direct descendant, as in the Son of God. Now, you could say, well, that's just blasphemous. But the Word of God points to that fact. And so, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to say that in this puny nothingness of humanism that's standing in front of you, saying these things, is I'm saying that we have more in our God than we can imagine.
Amen.
That's what I believe. I believe that we have more in the Son of God as being adopted sons of God in the upon the heavens than we can ever imagine. And I think that His goodness and glory is more than we could ever dream of. That's the picture that my mind gets when I study these things out. And I can see the evil one working to grasp that joy away from us continuously, day by day. And so I think as glorious as God is that's how glorious our calling is. I really do. And that doesn't happen a lot to me. These realizations don't happen a lot. It's almost like, why am I not concentrating on these things? That's what happens to me. You know, who cares what happens to you? Well, again, I don't know what happens to you. But I'm just saying, this is what happens to me. And if you're a son of God, I'm a son of God. And we're in warfare. We're here. We're in this flesh. Which is part of the warfare, and these things happen to me. I'm just saying, yeah, if this is happening to you, you're not alone, is my point. But being a technon or a child of God is not being an adopted son of God just as much as a one-year-old is not like a full-grown man, by the way. And a full-grown adopted son of God knows the deep things of God as we do. Indeed. Don't ever take that lightly either, because you were chosen before the kata bale for a reason. Alright? So, we move on to one of our favorites. And this, lost again. I'm glad another kata. Oh, here. This is my hand that Musterion. Say it. Musterion. Musterion. Alright? And this is translated into English, mystery. But what's really cool, what's really excellent, I should say, about this is that it's a mystery that's revealed. So in fact, it's not mysterious to us anymore. Nevertheless, it has to be revealed, and I have a note about this. And actually, I have the Koine Greek phrase here that it's ta mysterion tu thelematas atu, which means he has enlightened us as to the mystery of his will. Of his desire. That's what thelema is. Thelematos. So when we read in Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mysterion of his thelematos, it's this. We go back to praise be again. All right. Who is the Almighty God? What has he done for us? Who are we in him? And then, what has he done? He's enlightened us as to a mystery of his very will. You gotta be kidding. Right? That's what my mind says. You've got to be kidding. Did you ever feel like that? Did you ever think that? You sit back and you think about what you know about the Lord and you say, I don't believe this. Is this happening to Mike? Nah. Is it? Did you ever feel like this? Like that? I have. And then I start thinking about my life. Well, that has nothing to do with anything. I start thinking, let's see, why did he choose me? Let's see, go back. What did I do when I was 9 years old? Was it because of that? What? No, it has nothing to do with your life in the flesh at all. He chose you. He did choose you for what he saw in you, though. A tenacity for standing for the truth. That I'm convinced of. All of us here are different. We come from different places, different families, different blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Do you know that? That's amazing in itself. It doesn't matter. We are drawn by the Holy Spirit of God to know the sacred secret. It's incredible, isn't it? And it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter about your past life at all, whatsoever. And so, when I sit back and I realize that God the Father, who is that? Who is he? What is he? Who is the Son of God? Who is the Holy Spirit? What have they done? Who are they? How glorious? How powerful? Who are they? Who am I in them? And then he revealed his secret will to me and you. This is the one that said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is that one. And he's revealed what? His secret purposes to you and me? What? I can't believe it. But it's true. And so, this mysterion, something hidden, a secret. The secret counsels and purposes of God himself, which he reveals to the righteous people in Christ and keeps hidden from the wicked and ungodly. A truth of God not known until revealed through the enlightened revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's a fact. These truths are not difficult to understand once you're enlightened to their fact. It's not difficult to understand at all. And you wonder why people pore over Ephesians, Colossians, the prison epistles, and they don't get it. They don't get it. How can they do that? We just went through 90 verses, and I'm blown away. How can they do that? But that's the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know what I mean? It's phenomenal. So, we got 5 minutes left. Okay, well, I can end with, this is beautiful. This is in Ephesians 1:11. And, see, this just keeps on getting better, I'm telling you. I am telling you, because I don't know too much, but I know this. I know these things. This is when he took a little Polish guy, and he talked. And so I'm going to honor him. Until I'm off the planet. Because my mind says, if I don't honor him and what he's given me and what he's given you, I don't want to live. Alright? No, that's not I'm not going to go jump out of a building. I'm just saying that, you know, if I don't honor him and what he's done, I'm a very, very poor son, I believe. Well, this is a very beautiful form. It's pronounced ekleroteimen. Ekleirotheimen. Ekleirotheimen. Say it. Ekleirotheimen. And what this literally means is this means to be made an inheritance or made a heritage. And so this just keeps on going, folks. We read in Ephesians 1:10 about the Father heading up all things in His Son. And then we read in Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we are made an inheritance. It says that in the English clear scriptures say we have an inheritance. We are made the heritage of the Father. That's the correct rendering. Ekleirotheimen. We do have an inheritance in the Son, but we are made the Father's own heritage. We are made His inheritance. And this goes along with what has come so far. And I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop there. But I'm going to say to you that it keeps on going. And I think that some of these facts are substantial reasons why we should praise our dear Heavenly Father, which is what Paul wrote through the Holy Spirit at the beginning of this chapter. Okay, so I would just want you guys to, if you would, get into this yourselves. You know, get into this yourselves. Sit down yourselves. Go into the Greek yourselves in your calling, and you'll be astounded. So thanks very much.